Hello, everyone. This is Dave Berta, news editor at Foresight Health. Welcome to Foresight Health's podcast, How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think, where we get inside the heads of people trying to fix the healthcare system. Our guest on today's show is Dr. Ramona Wallace. Dr. Wallace is in family practice with Grace Health, a patient-centered medical home in Battle Creek, Michigan. She's also on the faculty at the Western Michigan University School of Medicine. Board certified in functional and integrative medicine, Dr. Wallace believes you are what you eat, and that many chronic illnesses can trace their roots to a poor diet. I interviewed Dr. Wallace as part of our How Healthcare Revolutionaries Think series. We talked about how the health system treats patients, goldfish, meat glue, and more. Hi, Dr. Wallace.
Well, hi.
Hey, how are you? You're an early bird, too.
Yeah. Oh, nothing makes me more nervous than when my computer doesn't do what I need it to.
Well, what makes me nervous is using the healthcare system. Let me give you an example. Yeah, I needed a tetanus shot, right? And so I called my urgent care and they said, oh, we don't cover that. So it's going to be $300. So the best thing to do is go to the emergency room. And I'm like, well, I'm not going to the emergency room. You know, so then I called somebody back at urgent care. I'm like, they pulled out a little piece of paper or a post-it note and says, well, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but if you go over to Osco and you ask for this person, they'll give you the tetanus shot and charge you like $40. I'm like, okay. And that's what I did, you know, so I got to write about that.
Even though they told you not to tell anybody?
Yes. Right. Right. Well, I didn't say whose post-it note, but I thought, you know, if it wasn't for that one person, right, I would have had to pay, you know, I think it was $290 for the shot, or go to the ER, waste 10 hours,
right,
you know, maybe get a higher bill, right? But I met the right person who was willing to help me out. And I think so much of healthcare is meeting the right person who's willing to go outside of the rules and regulations to help you out. If you don't find those people, just like they say, you know, when you go to the hospital, you have a family member with you, right? You can't do it alone.
Well, what you said is so profound. What you just said, it reminded me of a story of inventory. And we laugh about this all the time because what are doctors supposed to be there for? Patient care.
Take care of patients. Right. Patient care. Right.
And that's what you would think. We do everything in our power as a facility to not see patients.
Right.
You name it. You know, if you don't have transportation, well, you better call and set up a time to through your insurance company, even though you don't have a phone or minutes on the phone because you don't have a job. And then if you don't show because the weather is bad, you'll be placed on this no call, no show list. So you can show up when you need to be seen, if they have an appointment that you can wait there all day. So you know what they're going to say? Go to the emergency room. And I have had this cat mouse conversation. I said, do you realize all these people that recurrently use the emergency room are on the no-call show, no list? Well, they get rides to the ER. I said, it's because they know they can be seen quickly and nobody's going to give them a hard time.
Right.
But you guys do everything in your power.
Wow. Wow. I didn't know there was a no show, no call. That's kind of like, I don't know if you watch Seinfeld or did watch Seinfeld. There's an episode where Elaine Bennis, one of the main characters, she goes in for a rash. And somehow the doctor had left her clipboard, and she read that on the clipboard that they wrote down she was a difficult patient. So then it was a recurring storyline that every time she went to the doctor in that episode, as her rash got worse, they refused to see her because like that somehow the AMA had this database of difficult patients was kind of the joke. And she ends up in the end going, having to go to a veterinarian. And then he even was tied into the AMA and she couldn't get seen. So that's interesting. I didn't know there was a no show, no call thing.
That's right.
Wow.
Right. And
you get flagged.
Oh,
huh?
You get flagged.
Wow.
And you know what? You can't get an appointment and set anything up. And so and the problem is Medicaid makes you call 48 hours in advance to schedule a ride. So if you're sick,
right,
you know,
yeah, it doesn't work, right? You might be dead, right? 48 hours later.
Yeah, if you can get in with whomever who doesn't know anything about you, and then you have to explain your story all over to whomever, and right.
Yeah.
And no, I know.
I
call it the goldfish inventory because I took my son when he was little to buy a goldfish. There were five of them in the tank. Here was this guy at Meijer, and he said, "How many do you want?" And he had some learning disabilities. Mm-hmm. And Noah goes, "Well, I want all five." And he goes, "Oh no, I can't sell you all five. I have to manage inventory."
That's great, right?
It's like, okay, so what we our joke at home is, okay, you have to manage inventory. We don't want to see too many patients because, right?
Food as medicine is a popular topic right now, but you've been all over this for years. So when you see something like that suddenly happen, you know, I see it in sports or I see it in whatever, you know, if you follow a team and there's a player that you've always known is good, and then suddenly everybody's like, "Hey, he's really good." And we're like, "Yeah, I knew that." So food is, do you have that same sort of reaction when people say, "Oh, food and medicine, you know, what do you think of that? It's a hot thing." What's your reaction to that when you hear that?
You know, I thank you for asking that question. That one's a toughie.
Yeah.
And this summer, when I was at the Society of Nutrition Education and Behavior, I went with them as a group of advocates to the Capitol to talk about food and medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And my big question is, why isn't food labeled as medicine? And it isn't.
Right.
And some of the discussion that I had with people from the SNEB, if you label food as medicine, what kind of restrictions and regulations now do we have on it?
Oh,
I know. Isn't that? And then I thought, oh, right. Do I want people messing with my food?
Right. Then you have to regulate it more than we do already.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, who owns it then? And is it marketable? And you end up things like meat glue. And my poor daughter was sick and I couldn't figure out, here I'm a functional medicine trained doctor and I can't help my kid. I did this test and she's highly allergic to meat glue. What is meat glue? Do you know what meat glue is?
I've never heard that.
It's gross. Meat glue is transglutaminase. And it's what they put in meat to make it gluten-free because they don't use gluten because people have celiac, to make meat stick together. It's not listed as an ingredient because it's probiotic and it's pink slime.
I've heard the phrase pink slime before. I've never heard meat glue.
And
wow. No,
and she was horrifically sick. How many other people have the same reaction? So it's a process of learning these step by step. And
right.
Is it regulated? What are you going to do when you're celiac? Ooh. You can tolerate meat glue, maybe, but
right.
Think of all the
right.
hidden.
What type of meat would you find that in? Hamburger meat or what's a common thing I'd see at the grocery store?
Yes. Cheap hamburger. A lot of, if you call McDonald's, I've read online, they say they don't use meat glue anymore.
Yeah.
I don't know what they use, but it's those hidden things. And you know, that's kind of an interesting question. I would love to see, there's been some articles on meat glue, but we do test for it when we look at gastrointestinal issues and diarrhea, and it causes horrible gut irritation and inflammation. And so how many people get colonoscopies, CAT scans,
right,
medications, steroids, and it's just
right,
meat glue. So since she's been taken off of that, she's been great.
That's good. I want to get back to the food as medicine mm-hmm. question.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry.
So no. So you've always thought that way. Now a lot of people are saying it.
Yes.
I mean, you may roll your eyes like we used to say as a kid, no duh, right, when we were little. But maybe even though that's the case, it's a good thing, although you're saying you can only take it so far because then it would have to be regulated.
Right. I'm on faculty at Western Michigan Medical School because my goal is to put nutrition education using the functional medicine curriculum into medical education.
Right. Because I'm thinking, here's my connection. Not every health system or hospital would want you on their staff, right?
No.
No. I didn't think so. Unless they had a grocery store, right?
Yeah, maybe. Exactly. Well, that, and you know what? I'm an inventory problem. You know what happens?
What?
My patients get better. They don't need CAT scans.
Right.
They don't need... I am the epitome of value-based care.
Right.
And primary prevention. So this volume-based system.
Right.
And we don't connect.
Yeah.
But if you're looking for value and if you're looking for real-life intervention
yeah.
and cost savings,
right.
I'm your gal.
Yeah.
I'm the person you want if you really want to do a real, true value-based system.
Yeah.
And the interdisciplinary team that is required to remediate the social determinants of health, right?
Right, right. That's great. This has been fascinating, if not scary.
Stay connected. I'd love to talk to you again soon.
All right, same here, Dr. Wells. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. If you'd like to learn more about how Dr. Wallace thinks and what you should do if you ever have her over for dinner, please read our Q&A with her at foresighthealth.com. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Berta. Foresight Health.